Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dread Time Stories. I'm your host, Dr. Phobia, and tonight, dear patients, our story comes from the world of Reddit No Sleep. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's tale, Those Weren't Raccoons. People still give me that look when I show up to their door telling them I'm the pest control technician. I suppose it's because I look a lot younger than most of the other folk that work in my industry. I thought this was going to be a temporary gig, you know, for the first year or two after I dropped out of high school. Well, it's been 5 years. Insects and rodents never bugged me much, sorry for the pun, and I will never really figure out why people are so afraid of them. I mean, just look how big we are compared to how small they are. Then again, I suppose it's easy to get desensitized when you work in this field. A friend of mine who works in a meat shop says the same thing about his job. It's true. We could probably dig our hands into a human carcass and wouldn't even flinch. I've dealt with bed bugs, roaches, beehives, rats, you name it. It's not very often I run into something that I don't want to deal with. The story of one of these rare occasions is when I threw up my hands and said, "Sorry, call someone else." I had been to Mrs. Thomason's place before. She spotted mouse droppings in the house, so she called us to get rid of the rodents. It was an enormous house, way too big for one person to live in. Even her cat had a bigger room than I did. My first visit only lasted about 15 minutes. I laid down some snap traps around the house and let them work their magic. 2 weeks later, I dropped by again to check on the snap traps. 6 mice caught, and no sign of any others. It would be 6 months before we got another call from Mrs. Thompson. This time it was something else. Her cat Bingo had gone missing, and she was sure some damn raccoons had something to do with it. She told us she could hear them at night, creeping in and around the house, only to scurry away every time she looked for them. Now, I mentioned before that bugs really don't bother me much. Raccoons, on the other hand, pose a very real threat. Many of them are rabid, and they aren't afraid to attack humans if they feel threatened. I've been taught to deal with them using non-confrontational methods, such as placing a bright lamp or a loud radio in their suspected hiding places. It usually works on raccoons, but those things in her walls were no raccoons. When I entered Mrs. Thompson's house this time, I noticed a subtle but persistent odor. It smelled like rot. Something seemed off about her house, an otherwise beautiful Victorian home. Upon closer inspection, I noticed a rusty red substance seeping from the corners of her ceiling. Only small amounts of it, but enough to leave a light brownish stain. I followed the smell to an air vent in her den, one barely large enough to shove a baby through. Peering inside, I saw a few locks of fur, presumably Bingo's, and the stench was foul beyond words. When I tried to remove the cover, I realized whatever critter lurked in Mrs. Thompson's house must either have had the manual dexterity of a skilled carpenter or very sharp claws. In the end, I had to pry it open with a knife. Lying flat on my stomach, I reached into the opening and felt around. That was when I grabbed onto what I thought was a tennis ball and took it out of the hole. It turned out it was Bingo. Well, just her head. I deal with dead animals all the time, but I'd be lying if I said it didn't frighten me a little. Parts of her spine were still clinging to it, as if the head was yanked off after a violent struggle. Her eyes were missing too. The way the nerves dangled out of the socket made it look like something had sucked her eyeballs out. Then I heard the thing. Its shriek echoed down the air duct, a bizarre sound I had never heard before. I was lying on my back now, sliding my head further into the hole with a small flashlight clasped between my lips, trying to get a glimpse of the culprit. And then I saw it. The creature was staring back at me, its eyes glazed in jet black. Behind it, dozens of eggs were burrowed into the sides of the walls. Some were empty pods, while others were still throbbing with life. I was locked in a staring contest with the horrendous creature. I imagine it might have been thinking the same thing about me. It hissed and shrieked, this time louder than the first. Whatever the thing was, it did not belong in our world. Its slimy gray body was dripping with a red, gooey fluid, which I first mistook for sweater saliva. Then some of it dropped into my mouth, and I tasted the blood-like rustiness of it. I pulled myself out of there as fast as I could and spat out whatever was in my mouth. I gathered my things and darted from that place, not even taking one look back as I ran to my car. I felt bad for leaving Mrs. Thompson's cat on the floor like that, and I realized she must have been very unsettled by the sight of her decapitated pet. I kind of expected her to call the company and file a complaint, but she never did. 3 days ago, I was dispatched to deal with an infestation in a house not too far from Mrs. Thompson's. I drove by her block and slowed down when I approached her lot. To my surprise, the old house had already been torn down, as well as the houses behind and adjacent to it. I noticed that many of the homes in the area had gone up for sale. There seemed to be nobody in any of the houses in the area. When I drove away from where the house used to be, I heard the shrieking come from behind, echoing in the distance. Just as I was about to turn onto the main road, I saw a whole pack of those slimy gray things in my rearview mirror, crawling across the street to their next habitat. Well, dear patients, that was Those Weren't Raccoons. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening. Like I always say in closing, check under your bed, look in your closet, and sleep with the light on. The life you save may very well be your own. Good night, everyone.